Winston City Council Workshop, March 7th, 6 p.m.
What do you propose we start with? Do we want to discuss the calendar to begin with?
Yes, let's just go through the calendar real quick. And then secondly, we would take off with a discussion from council on items that they would like to see in the budget. And then we'll give you a department report of kind of what they've got previewed for their budget.
Their Christmas lists?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm happy again this year that we don't have any budget meeting scheduled for Saturday. The first kickoff is going to be the 4th of April, a Monday. Anybody in the room or on the dais have any questions about the scheduling of the calendar? Any reason why they can't attend a meeting or three or six or whatever?
And Your Honor, if I may.
Please.
For at least Councilor Sullivan's benefit. In the past, typically we have taken one afternoon or morning or evening to go through our budget packet, and that's been the total time allotment for our committee for the most part. After that, it's been just action by council. So we go through the internal steps following this meeting, and then we'll lay that out to council and the community.
Are we going to schedule that meeting at the community center?
Either the community center or the fire department, whichever one wasn't.
The fire department.
The other one is Andy's group is doing such a good job of keeping that thing rented that we can hardly ever find time up there anymore.
Do you have any extra folding chairs? We can do it in Andy's shop.
Yeah, just big enough for that. Hey,
we have a cup.
We'd love to have you down there.
And we can move this map down on his office, in his office.
That would make a nice wall out of it.
It has been discussed previous to you getting here. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, we'll put her to use. We can do something with it.
Thank you, Dave. We'll talk.
We'll get great.
What if Dory needs one?
Would you like a cup of coffee, Dory?
Yeah, we'll get. Can we have another cup, please?
Okay.
Oh, we got some right here.
Heads up. Thank you. Did you want some coffee too?
I'll be up all night.
So that's not something you value? Okay. Okay. So, any questions on the calendar? Anybody want to discuss items on the calendar any further? Okay, then we're going to move the discussion at this point then to any necessary or budget items that council would like to discuss. They want to see maybe in the game.
How do you want to do this?
Well, let's start it with Councilor White and work this way.
Let's start at the other end and work this way.
Okay. Alicia, anything that you can think of? And it's okay to pass. We can come back to you later.
Well, I thought the generator idea that we discussed last meeting would be something that should be in the budget for the police department.
Okay. I know Chief Sardi's high on that.
We just got the grant opening today to write up for another generator, so we're going to do that along with the 500-gallon portable transportation tank. So
are you going to write that, or are you going to have Andy write it so you get some good luck in that process?
Doesn't Andy have a generator?
Also,
yeah, Andy does. That's the problem.
That's on our list.
So okay. Also, the option to the generator is a solar array for the building.
Okay.
And so we've got the specifications for what we can write for. We just need to go over it with an electrical person to find out if it's going to be enough.
I was going to say, wouldn't we get more credit or more for being green? Wouldn't there be more?
I would say two things. Is one, having the generator and a portable tank, we can move it around the community. If my building goes down in an earthquake, the solar panels are worthless, right? where if I need it for a church, or I need it for another command post, or I need it for housing people in a gym, I can move that generator anywhere. So I'm
Were you a salesman before? Were you a salesman before?
Well, yeah. The solar, I like that idea, but I also think that before solar for the building, we need to do the windows. I mean, that's where we're losing our energy. So it needs to be a window and a solar, maybe combined deal all together for that building on the next phase in a couple of years, I would guess. In my thoughts.
Just well, the solar, shouldn't you have that up pretty soon? Where, since you brought that up, where are we as far as if we have a catastrophe here?
That would be of more benefit in keeping the police station individually running than anything else that we would have. So it just wouldn't be anything we could move around in the community if we had to go somewhere else for some reason, like the building caved in.
So you could conceivably use both. Has anybody done any research on the cost of a solar array for that?
That's as far as I know. It's the first.
Yeah, I've actually got it today.
If I may interject here, I got an estimate for my house, and you put the square footage by. What's your square footage here, Chief?
Counselor, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
Well, mine was calculated at 2,200 square feet.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was for a solar array, and then also with the matching battery setup. And it was between $18,000 and $20,000.
You know, theirs could possibly be quite a bit more because of
the draw.
Draw for the computer. Yeah. Now, that's kind of be our ground central station for our computers for the city. Is that, what the plan is?
Yeah, I mean.
But that gives you a ballpark.
Sure.
So with solar run, I don't know how long it would run. I don't know what that's
about. It would run
as long as the sun can back the batteries up, it will run. But I don't know that, number one, I don't know what other operations there are locally that are being successful running solar.
Right.
So we could look into that. And then, you know, we would have to have a lot of calculations on our roof structure. If we're going to put it on our awning, we're going to have to wait and redesign our awning in order to support that system. So there's a lot of what ifs with the solar thing right now, and there's more light ahead to the generator, even though the solar array would take a lot of pressure off of us if it did work out for us. So I think we're looking at about 7,000 square feet.
I think somewhere in there.
For what?
7,000 square feet.
And technically, wouldn't solar...
Now, the solar also has a payback feature.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Give us a payback, but okay. I don't think of it as a disaster.
And then my son-in-law, an engineer, put in a solar array in probably one of the highest earthquake areas in the country. And what they do, on the way they have it set up, is on a flex. Yeah. And so that gives and goes with the earthquake.
Yeah. And we could conceivably have to restructure or reconstruct the roof of the police department to put the solar array on top of it.
That's a possibility.
That's the concern, I think.
The other one would be on top of the overhang that the chief is looking at right now going to construction with. But it is not designed to handle a solar array on the top of it, and it's not south facing. So it would create challenges for us in order to make it a south facing array. It would be probably a better option. We got a flat roof on top of the police station, so it's gonna have to be a stand up array, which is gonna make it even more costly. But more difficult to install. And of course, if we had to put a new roof on the building, then that would not be cost-effective.
Well, if you went with a generator, you can get the propane gas combo, in which you can have the gas line, like I just got gas.
Right.
Which would feed.
Tribino.
Yeah.
So the one that we would write for is a 56K. It's the exact same one that Andy has. It's not available for multi-fuel.
That's straight diesel, right?
It's straight diesel. Our building with that big switch on the side of it that can, you know, power a warehouse right now, that was part of the building of the initial portion to put it together. We're wired and set up for a generator. To me, it just makes sense to do that. And then if we want to go green, okay, then we start looking at windows and solar for our monthly cost reductions over time. I don't know that it would be.
And so right now, we have that portable generator in Public Works, which Public Works uses to power up the Looking Glass lift station and the compressor station. And we have generators at our other two, or our other facilities that we, you know, at the treatment plant and our other lift station. They have the facility. So there's some possibility right now that we could plug right into the police station for a period of time if we had to, and then move it out to the lift station or something like that. We could probably power a lift station with a 5 kW.
Okay, how big, if you go with gas, how big of a tank do you have, and how long will that last? We need to do a lot of research, I think.
Right. The ones that are available are the ones that we ripped the last time, and Andy and Megan can tell me what they have that I don't.
How many hours?
That one would last for weeks for our situation.
What do you say, weeks?
Weeks. Because our pump station, like Mark said, it's only 10 horsepower pumps in there, so they don't pump that often. So basically it just run the pumps up there.
So what I'm hearing then is
250 gallon tank.
Okay. And what's the KV on the generator?
50. The one where the part of the one is a 56.
Well, that would simply work.
It's plenty big enough to do whatever they would need. Whatever.
So you say taking the 56, putting it over at the police station and getting a smaller generator?
Well, I can't do that, Mayor or council members, because it's on a grant for currently for 5 years. But okay, after that 5 year period's up, and then we can get creative.
The same generator, my plan was, if everyone agreed with it, is going to be right to that generator. And then there's a portable fuel tank that would not only benefit Andy and his crew, but can benefit us. And it's a 500 gallon portable trailer fuel tank. And it's ODOT approved. It's all ready to go. So that would be part of that generator or whatever else we need to use it for. So we could use it. If Public Works need to use it, they can grab it and go transport and fill up stuff. I mean, it would be a good move for us.
Chris, what's your feeling on generators? I know you've been kind of going through that lately.
Diesel generator, I think, is better than solar panels for backup, for sure.
And you're using two at a time now?
Ours are, we have a 250 kW and a 300 kW.
How long will diesel store?
From what we've found in the ground, a long time.
All right, that's a good one.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Unless it mixes with water or something like that, it doesn't degrade. It degrades, but it takes a long time to degrade.
It doesn't degrade like gasoline does.
Okay. Right.
I'm not against it. I think we should try to push towards doing green, especially this building here. But if we have another snow again, are we getting on the road trying to scrape the snow off the solar panels? This sounds like a cluster to me.
But why can't you use both of them and have that?
Sure, 100% agree with you. 100%.
What I'm saying, rather than just have
right. The
generator.
One option. It may take a couple of years for us to do that, but I think we should be doing that too. But we can only write for one or the other.
Right.
And in Andy's case, he's got that generator for 5 years. Unless there's an emergent situation that we absolutely have to use it for something else, we can do that.
When is the 5 years up? Is it a brand new generator?
It's a
couple more years.
Yeah, we got a couple more years on it, but it's like I said, the PD wrote it. They look for two. We got the one, and we just go through every year. We submit hours of maintenance, and we go through the stuff we have to store it, it's on site. If they drop in, they want to be able to physically see it. The pictures we take are accurate that it's there. After that, but like Mark said, we can turn it up, use that, and drag it to wherever we have the right plugins.
If they drop in and you're using it at the Looking Glass pump station, that's what it's supposed to be for, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Emergency response.
No harm, no foul?
Yep.
Okay.
It would be only if we had it like hooked up to a general fund, like the police station. If they came in and we were just using it as an everyday backup for the police or the city hall, then we'd be in trouble.
Perfect. Anybody else want to have anything else to offer on the generator slash solar issue?
So we're taking a look at, which I can understand, to put a generator on the list for police station.
Yes.
What was the cost of that? I wasn't here.
It was a grant, and that was like $15,000.
That's $58,000.
Okay.
So are you thinking we need to write that in as part of the budget, or do you want to wait and see how the grant develops and find other funds from Sherlock stuff or something?
We're going to put that in there on the grant, on the revenue, right?
Yeah, we typically, if we know that we're going to go after a grant, we'll plug it in so that in the case we get it, we don't have to do a supplemental budget.
Okay.
That's part of it, yeah.
Anybody else have anything they want to see on a budget item?
Yes. I know the chief will probably smile, but I think we need the budget for some more police officers.
I don't think we can have any complaints here.
Is that all right with you, chief?
Yes, sir.
But that's something I think is a higher priority.
With the growth that we're seeing and the potential with the new housing developments and apartment complexes, isn't that naturally going to phase in?
That's what Mark's, I would think so. I mean, we've grown quite a bit since 89.
Yeah.
The same staff.
And then not only that, we need plenty of time for a lead-in to get an officer aboard.
Yeah, true.
Well, where are we with that right now, chief? You said you've got some people that might be interested?
Yeah, do you want me to talk about the stuff we talked about today? The school boss?
Yes.
Okay,
but,
so.
Just a second before you do that. Let's just talk about clarification for the budget purposes. When we talk about capital items like materials and equipment, those are one-time purchases. They come typically from a different fund than what we would fund ongoing expenses or overhead.
That makes sense.
For the city. So police officers make up 90% of the police budget. They make up 80% of our total city budget. I mean, that they're a big expense, and we have to make sure that we have that money going forward so that we don't end up having a layoff of somebody we just put on that was a high seniority employee in another department. Now they don't have a job, so not like they couldn't go out and find another one as a police officer, but they're giving up certain situation in life to do that. So when we bring them on, we want to make sure we have plenty of money going forward to fund them. So we have added some employees into the organization here in the last couple of years, which eat into that capability. So we'll be looking at all of our revenue streams as they come in to evaluate employees. We need one in police, we need one in public works right now. So. There are different pots of money. The public works employees typically come out of our utility funds, depending upon what exactly they're doing. And then we need a police officer, definitely. So that's kind of where we're situated at this point. Okay, go ahead.
So it might be a little confusing, but I'll try to walk you through the best that I can. Currently, I was approached two things that we have. We have one, which is the DENT position, which is a fully funded position. If I could get an officer in there, it would be beneficial for us for training. It would teach the officer how to write search warrants, drug-related. Just a win-win. It would really bring them up to the next level, whoever we pick to do that, if we can. That being said, I also got hit up today by the superintendent of the Glide School District. The superintendent of Glide School District had their contract with Roseburg canceled because of staffing shortages at Roseburg. They brought their officer back. That officer wants to stay in Glide. This is the number two ranked, he's the number two in seniority for the city of Roseburg right now for patrol. He's very interested in possibly coming to us. That being said, that's a topped out officer. but the school district would pay the whole thing. So me and the manager are going to negotiate with him and see what we can come up with. But my thought is this, is that there has to be a benefit to the city and our community, right? The benefit that I would want is that this officer worked through the summertime, they're flipping the bill. So they're paying 100% of him, but I get him in the summertime.
In the summertime.
And so, he's a motor officer on top of it.
So we're going to provide the Glide School District with a police officer under contract.
Yes. So the city
that does not, excuse me, that does not put anybody on the street here.
Only 3 months out of the year.
Oh, correct. Right, I get that.
But that's separate. That's separate from a new officer. I'm just saying that that's something that was approached to me today. So that's just something else in the works, is that I might be able to work something out. Yeah.
So that's 3 months.
Yeah, right. Festivals.
Correct. Sure, no, I understand that. I just trying to see what the...
Yeah, not counting our cop, not counting the new policeman.
That's kind of a half win for us, or a quarter win for us.
Right. Yeah, so, and we have to provide, again, all the equipment, but again, the school district would be paying for all of it.
So he gets to ride a motorcycle back and forth to Glide?
Well, no, he would be in a market. He lives in Glide. He would be stationed there. So he would come down probably once a week to see us. But in the summertime, he is a motor officer. So in theory, we could put him on a bike. He's certified through the state, and he could ride a motor and just ride tickets all day.
Does he have his own bike, or do we have to put one of those under
him? No, we have to buy the bike.
Okay.
So. Well, and I do have an endorsement. Hey. I could rent it out for the 500-mile trip.
We still have those scooters, though, don't we?
The city's not...
Segway. We'll put him on a Segway for crying out loud. Here we go.
So that's kind of one piece. The other piece is obviously the dent position. So depending on where we are on our officer, if we can get it within our budget, we got to also remember that if I send an officer to Dent that's fully funded, that might help us offset some of those costs.
So basically what you're saying then, for 9 months of the year, they're paying us the cost of the officer to be in Glide, in which then we can take that money that we're giving, or that we're getting, and put it towards an officer.
No.
That money is paying for the officer.
But paying, yeah, right.
We would get
to be in Glide? Yes.
Our benefit would be only the 3 months in the summer when the school district isn't using him, then we would get 100% use.
So how's that going to affect our our workers' comp, all that kind of stuff?
They would be paying for all of it. All expenses would be covered by them.
Just like currently we have with the other.
The only question would be, would another employee move us into a different group, Brady? Which it doesn't.
It doesn't? At this point?
Not at this point. Okay. We have to get to 50 before we go to the next group.
There's something in there I don't like, and I don't know what it is.
Think about it.
Yeah, I got to think about it. Something just
doesn't... How much? I'd like to see the dollar.
We will.
Yeah, but this is just
this
talk.
Is a speculative idea at this point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we aren't going to do anything.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, we need more information.
Yeah, this will be coming before you at some point, hopefully for your review and action.
Okay. Anything else we have right now? Anything else, Chief?
Just, are you in that department, or are you just...
Yeah, we're just in that department.
Okay.
So, or anything else that you on your list?
Better not be.
I haven't even started my list. This
well,
is all
stop.
Your guys' list.
This stop. Is my list.
Wow.
So, well, if you want to know about my list, the whole department wants an officer. So, if that's all we got this year, we're golden.
So, yeah. All you want for Christmas? Never mind.
That's it. Cop. Okay. Cop. We're good.
I don't have an issue with that.
And the primary reason for that police officer is we've got to do something to break up burnout within our department.
Sure.
Because our officers, we're down an officer again. Now everybody's rolling back into the overtime.
I was going to say the overtime is
and
almost going to.
And it's not the fact of the cost of the overtime as much as it is that it's burning out our officers having to work all the time.
Well, that's also the cost of the comp time later. Yeah. And that's what concerns me more than anything else. I mean, the burnout, yes, it's a huge issue, but... So that's all on your list then? Thank you. Mr. Sherlock, what's on your list?
I'm still working on pretty much everything. I have a couple items though come to mind. Actuators for our aeration basin. We were gonna look at doing blower and actuators, and we still might. I have a meeting with a rep next Tuesday is supposed to come out. But if we could just do actuators, I think that'd help our problem. Friday, we had a pipe rot away in our wet well. And it actually happened Thursday evening. We pulled out ginormous biginormous rag that was in the pump. It came off that pipe. But going down there and doing some further inspections, the whole wet well is in pretty bad shape.
Is this the one at the end of the siphon that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Our end of the siphon or your end of the siphon?
My end of the siphon.
Okay.
So...
That sucks to be you.
Well, it kind of opens up a can of worms.
Sure it does.
How much repair do you do? Do you just go down there and rebuild the catwalks? Or do you go down there and media blast and coat everything? Do you conduit? Either way, it's going to require bypass pumping, which is going to be a significant dollar amount. So,
are those submersibles?
No. We have a wet well and dry well.
What is this wet well pumping? Or is it just gravity?
It's gravity into the. Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
So, what? Where does this leave us with our siphon project? Then, I mean, does this make it that much more imperative that we get that done, or can you make this thing live that long, or do we need to?
The problem that's going to happen is we get down in there every week to every 2 weeks, and it's just one of those things. You get down there, you do your business, and you get out of there, and then when you actually start looking into stuff, it starts to get scary.
Yeah.
You know, and the moment that it's unsafe to be down there, then we just won't go down there, which we're close. And then you can't get down.
I don't blame you for that.
And do repairs.
When you're doing your pricing, are you going to look into pricing for a whole new, or do you have to have?
Well, it'll all be repaired. Repairs go on, but. Like I said, it's a can of worms. Like, how much do you do?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Do we have it all engineered and have... Because right now, we just have kind of a hodgepodge safety harness system and recovery system that's...
And we're going to have a whole bunch more pumping because we're having building like crazy.
Right.
So
that's going to put more stress on that,
and
right?
The original thought was... One, our permit's going to be up for renewal, hopefully 2005, 2006-ish time. And at that point, we'll have to do a study on, one, if we can even treat the new permit, and then also for increased flow. And hopefully, the plan was to try to roll it all into one major upgrade, but I don't think we're going to make it that long with the wet well.
So on the inside or the outside, who can tell me how long we're sitting or looking at... How long are we going to be before we can actually put that siphon into work?
Well, immediately. We can put it into work immediately.
But the new siphon.
At some point we're going to have to bypass pump the wet well in order to work on it. So if we're doing maintenance on it, replacing in kind with in kind, it's potential we could bring a contractor in and have them replace it in kind, or we need to come in and get an engineering evaluation of exactly what needs to be done so that we make sure that we get all the essential pieces. And I would suggest that would be the preferred route to go. And we don't put any of that liability on the city or the employee.
Well, I understand that. But how far off are we from not needing that wet well?
We need it regardless.
Oh.
Two separate things.
Yeah.
The siphon feeds the wet well.
Right. So the new siphon will feed that wet well as well.
Yes.
And we probably better get it fixed then.
No, you have to go with the...
I thought there was going to be a new wet well on the other end. And
gotcha.
Pardon my ignorance.
The only thing that we could potentially talk about is, and Chris has brought this up, in the 25-26 period, when we have our permit renewal, that's coming up, right? Is the question of whether or not we're going to be able to stay in the river, which means can we discharge our wastewater to the river? Or are we going to have to land apply it like what the Green Sanitary, you might remember, when it was just the sanitary side of it, bought that property over next to the treatment plant for land application of different things. The other thing is, we're gonna be in the river doing the siphons. The question is, should we be bringing the line back across it to the community for reuse water for irrigation purposes, so that we could put 100% of it back into irrigation water? But, you know, of course, there's the expense of doing that on top of doing the siphon going the other way. We'd be pumping back, so.
Now, of course, the Green Sanitary would be paying half, correct?
Yeah, for any expenses.
Yeah, so therefore, you'd have to go in front of them and make sure that we're in concert between us and them.
Right.
In terms of repairs?
Yeah. Yeah, for what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So the cost then would be split 50-50, so our share would be half. So when we get an approximation number, then that way we can get that onto the budget, as if Green Sanitary will do the same. Okay.
Well, I think they're all pretty much forced to.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's the difference now. Green Sanitary pays 50% of the cost. So both of our discharge about that well. Yeah, there it goes.
You forgot it.
It works now. Excuse me. Anyway, the siphon, however, is going to be 100% our cost, because that's not part of their system.
That's ours.
Yeah, it's ours.
But if we have to pump it back this way, that's 50% them.
No, because that's not going to Green. That's only going to be coming to us.
No. If we can no longer pump effluent into the river.
Right.
And we have to pump it back across this way to get rid of it.
Yeah, just to Winston.
So that's not 50%, because none of their stuff's coming this way?
No.
How do we know?
We know where their discharge comes into the treatment plant, and it's coming out of the Green Basin. So
okay,
that Green Basin, unless there's some benefit that they could get from reuse, I don't know what that would be, but if there is, then because now they're part of Roberts Creek, maybe there's some kind of opportunity for them as well going that direction, but it wouldn't be coming that.
Okay.
Feedback across the river would be just for our system.
Okay. Thank you.
Cottage Grove has a big reuse program. Actually, they don't discharge at all in the summertime. I reached out to them today, and they just added a pond liner and pumps and everything. This was right before COVID hit, and it was 1.7 million.
Oh yeah, no, it's expensive.
So,
but and just thinking at this real quickly, Green would have a responsibility to it as well, because if we can't put it in the river and we have to put 100% of it in the ground, now they're gonna have to pay 50%.
So that was my.
Okay.
That's what I was trying to get at. You know, they're gonna pay part of what comes back.
So is there some new DQ thing that we can't pump?
It's kind of new.
They would rather, well, they're,
yeah,
it's almost a cost benefit. So do you upgrade the plant to meet temperature and nutrient standards that they want in the river, or is it better just to land apply it to either a crop or a park or do golf course if we had one?
Got it.
I know that
there's a good idea, build a golf course.
Yes, the city needs a invest in a golf course. That's a horrible idea.
Maybe we can send it to Myrtle Creek and use theirs.
Yeah.
If a much better application would be on, school sports.
If we did hit irrigation water, and it's not coming back to the city for irrigation, like the parks or something like that, could we sell that irrigation water to the AOs in the area?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So therefore, after a period of time, it's possible that it would pay for itself. Is that not correct?
It's possible.
But you're also going to have to put together a whole new piping system to get it.
Yeah.
Also, which is going to add to the expense.
I mean, they've been, DEQ is actually, well, all the environmental services have been after this get out of the river thing for some time now. They've been talking about it, trying to give us a lead up that it's going to happen eventually. And, you know, it's one of those things where we need to start evaluating it, because at some point, when you think about cooling the river down, we have to not only cool our discharge, but we have to make a difference in the river. So how we're going to do that, I don't know. Because the reason that the river is hot is because there's nothing on the stream banks anymore. There's no foliage over it. It just heats up. And almost all of the streams in Oregon, Washington, California, Idaho are under the same thing, that have had logging back to the East Coast. So it's like, you got a problem. How do you treat for it? You can't, because it's too expensive. So you have to start looking at these other reuse options as to being affordable versus putting in a rocket ship and blasting it off into space, I guess.
Well, that then people on Mars would get upset.
Yeah. Well, that water cooling would only go down about a couple hundred feet, and then it's back to regular temperature.
Yeah, it depends with the river. We're technically at times in the summertime cooler than the river anyways, but there's one temperature standard for the river and it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Idiotic.
Anything else, Chris?
That's it.
Perfect.
That wasn't enough, right?
You've done well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thomas, anything you have?
Most of our projects are essentially plan updates, stuff that we really need. A lot of these plans are required to be updated within the last 10 years. They're not even close. So our first one being our transportation system plan, that's been going for a while. We're really hoping this year it'll be complete. Adoption two, through Planning Commission with a finished supplemental document to the comprehensive plan. And that opens the door to a lot of really good grant opportunities with an updated TSP plan. The other one is our housing needs analysis. That opens other really robust doors. Both of these are 100% funded through grant right now. The HNA, the IGA is on the agenda for tonight between us and the state. Those are two. Our annexation project, I anticipate being through it not even halfway through the year, but that's a pretty big project to try to get through and cement to put in place. There's another project that we haven't brought to council, but it goes in tandem with our natural hazard mitigation plan. So that's on the agenda for tonight. But essentially, once that gets put in place for the next 4 years, it opens up potential grant money for the western side of the city. So if you look at our very antiquated map there, on the western side, there's Looking Glass Creek that travels all the way up. That side of the city around that creek is an approximate A zone, which means there's a lack of data. We don't know where the floodway is. Our NHMP opens up the door to find grant money to analyze that whole area so we know where the floodway is, so we know where the detriment is, which will really help to inform our permits better. Right now, if they came in, they wanted to develop in that area, we'd have to send them to an engineer and say, get a full HECRAS analysis, pull in a lot of different stuff, and it runs them up a lot of money. So it would be nice to just go out and have that full area delineated, and the NHMP opens the door for that. So that's
on your wish list, huh?
Yeah, but that's another thing. It wouldn't cost council any money. It would be fully grant funded in terms of the project.
And would the grant be funded because our information's outdated? What?
Right. So okay. There's through the NFIP, which is the National Flood Insurance Program, which we're in, there's three flooding areas. There's the 500-year, which is essentially very, very low risk. There's the 100-year, which I hate that they call it that, because it doesn't mean it's going to flood every 100 years. It means you have a 1% annual chance of it flooding. And then the most severe area is the floodway. And the floodway is the river, in the event of a flood, the river would become the floodway. It would become swollen over and there would be high flow frequency and it would essentially become the river. And we have to regulate in a pretty high regard area in there. So an approximate A zone, which Looking Glass Creek encapsulates that, doesn't have enough data that FEMA delineated to where we know where the floodway is. We know it's in there somewhere. We know the high hazard area is in there somewhere. So what it's going to take is an engineer pulling in a model, laying down friction coefficients all along that creek, which is thousands upon thousands, and kicking out his model, giving us a realistic idea on where to punch that floodway in. And that will, and then that gets adopted, and we redo our firm maps in the city.
We do know as far as Looking Glass Creek goes that its main failure point is right adjacent to what we would call the RV property. Because that's where it breaks over the bank and ends up flooding that property from. And that's where the majority of that flooding comes from. It doesn't come back across the road. So when we saw it there 4 or 5 years ago, the lake in there, it was coming directly over the top of Looking Glass Creek at the bottom. And at that time, I don't know, Alan may have a better idea of what's happened over time as far as flooding in that creek goes, but it gets really high, but I haven't seen it really, you know, approaching property damage somewhere anywhere. And I don't know if that's been your experience or not.
Yeah. Well, Mac, I forget which year it was, we had snow, warmed up, and we had all rain.
Oh yeah, it was back in the 60s.
No, it was later than that.
Oh, okay.
Since we live where I live now. Because that little podunk creek that flows behind me,
yes,
that was over the banks there.
Okay.
Because Looking Glass Creek backed it up.
96.
Probably 96.
There was one in 96.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have any repetitive loss properties on, but that just means that they probably own their property and they don't have to get flood insurance. So the data is just not there in terms of.
And what? We also didn't have the development that we have around that creek. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What data do we have, or how old is the data that we have for?
It's old HEC 2 data. It's back from the 80s. It was when, so our recent firm maps are from February 15th of 10, but it's based on old, HEC 2 or whatever.
Okay.
That's been there for a long time. They got, when you have to do an analysis in that area, engineers don't even use any of the data that's there because it's so antiquated. They just start from scratch.
Start over again.
Well,
yeah.
Just a little side note, then if that is indeed the case, then we could expect some major flooding then on the Umpqua. Where the trailer parks are at.
Well,
oh, definitely.
Yes.
And if that is indeed the case, we sent out a letter to the people concerning FEMA. Has there been any follow-up on that?
Permanent structures in that area.
I'm talking about compliance.
As far as what we did was we notified them that according to our code, they are responsible for all of these issues within their park. Should there be a flood, they have to get those vehicles out in so much time. We gave them all the data, and specifically, we're not going to go back to there. And we put it in their ballpark. We put the onus on them to deal with it. So now we've completed our liability piece by making them aware of what their situation is there. Now it's on them to react to it in the event that there is a flood.
Yeah, okay. We've told them this is the law, and we've just let them go do whenever they want to.
Well, we can keep... This was really not for the discussion this evening at
no,
this
as
point.
No, I said I just gave that as a side note. Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Thank you.
What you were talking about.
But Thomas, you have anything else?
That's a pretty good list. There's a wayfinding sign program that we're trying to look into going out grant money. This is.
So most of your concerns seem to be grant oriented.
All of them are 100%.
Perfect.
Yeah.
There's park. We need a park plan update. All of these things are, but they need to have grant funds supporting them in order for us to really do it.
I know on the Urban Renewal Board, or the Economic Development Board, that wayfinding comes up every month, that they'd like a way to show that there's stuff beyond the safari, bringing people into downtown.
I think that's great.
Yeah. What kind of happened to that, just as a side note, is that when we lost our motel over here, we lost our backing to support the wayfinding signage program, so we need to find another way forward with it.
A new hotel.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Like, seriously.
But, we just cut about $28,000 out of our $48,000 a year budget.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a whole lot for events.
No, it doesn't.
Thank you. Andy, Megan,
here we go.
You've got a great display in here, so let us know what it is you need or want.
Well, you know, what we wanted to do is kind of give council a kind of overview of what we're looking at. Some of the things are in the works, of course, like the site and evaluation. We got the pre-design on that. We just had the well evaluation completed 2 weeks ago. We have 30 days to get that information back, so that'll tie in hopefully the next step in the siphon. But so the siphon pre-design, we're hoping to have that completed this next coming fiscal year, with the options and information from that will be brought to council. We can make an informed decision moving forward on the siphon. We got the west side project. We have some numbers on there, which I know council's aware of that, but these are the ones that are on the books. We have this remote mainline off Rose Street that's 278 feet. That's another number we're going to want to look at. Hopefully we do that this fiscal year. We hope to. And we talked about some lines, some footage lines with that new CCTV system we have. That system allows us to look at lines we've never looked at before. Which whenever we do that.
And you don't like what you find it?
Stop looking.
Stop looking, we can't afford you.
Right, so that's what's going on with that one. We'd like to do a paving off Darlene also. That's another area that Thelma, Darlene area, that's kind of been neglected over the years. So we'd like to maybe hopefully squeeze that into the budget. The Safe Routes to School project, McGovern Elementary, that'd be another, that's a grant project. We're looking, checking into that one also. That would really help that area out. The sidewalks, approaches the school, safe zones. We've got the community center roof, of course, which we're all aware of. The pavilion project, which council's aware of, we put the numbers currently where we're at. Currently, minus the engineering, we're at $18,510 that we have, estimated $40,000 to $60,000. So we'll have some more information on that one. Then we have the public works, we're looking at public works. One of the things we're doing down there is kind of outfitting and retooling. We're utilizing the old shop also. We're going to set that up, kind of update that one with our new shop. We're going to have a custodian building maintenance and parks kind of set up over that way, and then have our public works department as we move forward in the future. So that's kind of the items on our list we're looking at.
So you're talking specifically about the old office complex.
Right.
The shop we will not resurrect.
The shop is like his wash pad now or something, isn't it?
It's a parking spot.
Any projects for the parks?
Pavilion's going to be in the parks. We have on the budget, our parks budget, when we actually go through the budget, our fiscal budget, highlighting the items that need to be addressed. So that'll be during the actual budget. These are ones that we're looking at. The pavilion will be the ones that's
for the pavilion.
Community park.
Are we doing concrete underneath that?
We're going to utilize the existing pad.
Okay.
That's there. We're going to put some footers outside of it, trying to keep the cost down as much as we can and utilize that existing concrete. We'll have to do a little bit of work up there, but
okay,
it's in well enough shape. I think we're going to use that.
You set equipment wise, Andy? You have what you need except for your street sweeper?
We're waiting on the street sweeper. We have our vehicle that we ordered. It'll be in the fiscal budget again, but it'll be carryover. We've ordered it, but once again, we all know the story there. It won't be until.
This will be the first time I've looked at a budget and that won't be in there next year.
When we talk about parks planning, and this is one of the reasons why we need a parks plan, is the priority from the committee has been to this pavilion project, and maybe rightfully so, but we still have the front half of our new restroom facility in Riverbend Park that still has all the old crap in it, all the old sinks, all the old toilets, all everything, and then the back half has all the new stuff. And the plan was to go back and retrofit that front half with new equipment. And that's kind of where we were heading with, as well, our tourism dollars to do, because we can do those kind of facility upgrades.
Well, if I could comment on that, on the back half of those restrooms, at least the men's part, it's a beautiful room, but it needs about two or three more stalls, and the space is there for it.
Yeah, and you know, those are all of those things we would could look at, but we keep moving on before we finish a project and go to a new project.
But that's still workable, even though they're old, they're still workable.
Yeah, but we need
and
to...
like we need more rather than and put that further down on the calendar.
And maybe that's what we need, but we need a plan of some kind, because that's our show, that's our showpiece.
Right.
That's where we're gonna bring people in for these events, Oktoberfest and things like that. And we gotta have capacity, and we can get capacity out of porta potties if we have to. But we can't get anything, I mean, those old, that old stuff that's in the front, you go in there once, you won't go back in there the second time.
You'll go more than once.
Mark, where does that money come from? It comes from the tourism budget. Where else does Parks get?
Parks gets its funding from the general fund.
Okay.
So,
what's the, on average, what's that, that balance look like? What do they get?
Not a lot. I can look that up while you move on.
Okay. Thank you.
Andy, also too, you know, the community park, you know, have been great. You know, that's a pretty busy park, 7 days a week. And those bathrooms there, I'm beginning to wonder, are getting a bit of substandard, and that's using the word nice.
Beginning to be substandard?
I said I was
they
being
are.
Nice.
They're broken and everything else. That's those, terrible.
But that's also been on Andy's list for a while, I'm sure.
But I think that's Mark's point, is having the park plan. We know our plan of attack. Stop building pavilions. And we can,
yeah. Oh, I understand yeah. that. And I wanted just to make sure that those have not eventually been getting very close to being, have to be replaced.
When you talk about the one in the main park, that's nothing like the one up there.
That
is crap.
So this park's near me, so I'm that's okay. Where I live.
So yeah, it's all about your neighborhood.
To answer your parks question, right now we put $170,000 out of the general fund into the parks.
Okay.
So how much of that is left for this year?
There'll be nothing left, probably, but a few.
What's the majority of that labor for?
It's all the parks, so we have that just park fund, but we go from the boat ramp all the way through.
So, Alicia, you're doing the park board now, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have any more any grant opportunities there for that type of stuff in the parks? Is that something we need to start being more proactive on?
Once a year, we have an opportunity under the state parks program, which is where we got our last grant dollars from to do the back half of the restrooms at Riverbend Park. That's a once a year, very competitive grant process. So we have that though, and we should be applying for that as opportunity allows us to do that.
Is that some? I was going to say, is that something you can handle on that grant?
How is that typically applied for?
Okay,
like, we apply? Like
the city applies for it as an agency.
Okay.
I mean, we could get some support out of the park board, like we did, and then what you do is when you do your presentation phase in front of the committee, if you get that far, then you take everybody up there and you put on a presentation that includes everybody from in the community who's a partner to show the strength in the community project. But they're not high dollar things.
So
but,
okay,
you know, you never know.
We probably ought to bring this to a close unless there's something really relevant that needs to be added at this point. Take about 5 minutes and get back for a council meeting. So at this point, we're going to adjourn this workshop, and thank you very much for attending and being here, and all the help you guys and ideas you've come up with.
Thank God! I thought I was late for the meeting.
Meeting's open.
I was sitting here like, oh my gosh. Dave, honey, I probably said something that's been recorded.
Did I get that part back?
Oh yeah.
It's been recorded.
workshop adjourned at 6:55 p.m.